I pray that you're all well. If you remember, last week we read chapter 17, which was called Hard Times. It is here we learnt of the sad passing of the son of the Prophet and Khadija radhiyallahu anha, Abdullah, and how the leaders of the Quraysh were very happy and overjoyed with such sad news. We also learnt how the persecution of the Muslims of the Prophet and Khadija radhiyallahu anha and her family got even more intolerable. And we read how the Prophet had the entrails of a camel poured over him whilst he was in prostration praying to Allah. So inshallah, this week we will read chapter 18, which is called Boycott. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. A small caravan of camels stood on the outskirts of Mecca awaiting departure. 11 men and 4 women were mounting the camels. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu helped his wife Ruqayya radiallahu anha climb into her carriage before mounting his own ride. They were heading for Habasha, and the arduous voyage ahead would be over desert and sea. Things had gotten so bad in Mecca that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged them to migrate there, where the kind Christian king would not oppress them. If the Meccans found out, they would stop them from leaving. So they left quietly. Khadija radhiyallahu anha said a sad goodbye to Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha and Uthman radhiyallahu anhu as they joined the caravan. It weaved out into the dark desert, and before long, the last camel was out of sight. Turning to Allah in prayer, Khadija radhiyallahu anha asked him to bring ease to the Muslims and to help them. Ruqayya radhiyallahu anha did not know that day, as she embraced her mother and said farewell, that this was the last time she'd see her. "O Baghid," Abu Jahl's voice echoed throughout Darun Nadwa, "write this declaration down. We shall see how many followers Muhammad has who are willing to starve for him." "What a wonderful idea this boycott is," Utbah chimed in. "No one can buy from them or sell to them. Let them starve for their God. No one can marry them, visit them, or even talk to them." They had decided to write down this new declaration and hang it up inside the Kaaba itself. Abu Talib doesn't follow his nephew's religion, but he rallies Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib together to protect him, Abu Lahab complained. "Boycott the two clans completely until they hand Muhammad over to us," Al-Walid said, nodding with agreement, "and throw them out of their homes, every single one." Abu Jahl's henchmen went from house to house rounding up the men, women and children of the Prophet ﷺ's clan. Tents were pitched in the valley of Shib Banu Hashim, and Abu Talib ordered his clansmen to retreat there. Khadija radhiyallahu anha, older and more fragile with age, realized that she would have to leave the comfort of her home with her children and live as an outcast in a tent in the valley. Khadija radhiyallahu anha, with Kulthum radhiyallahu anha and Fatima radhiyallahu anha accompanying her, left her home. Carrying what they could in their arms, they walked patiently into their tent. It was their new home. "Can you hear the wailing of the children?" Hakim bin Hizam asked with tears welling up in his eyes. "It's utterly unbearable. My aunt, my dear aunt, am I to let her starve?" The tears streamed down his face as thought of his father's beloved sister, Khadija Runha, starving in her tent, haunted him. Already all food supplies, buying, selling, and any sort of dealings with Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib had completely halted. Regardless of whether they were Muslims or not, all of those who insisted on protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were suffering under the rules of the boycott. Hakim felt utterly wretched. "We didn't agree to killing our own blood," Hakim's friend said to him sympathetically. "Enough is enough," declared Hakim. "But what are we to do?" his friend reasoned. "Abu Jahl says..." "Let Abu Jahl say what he wants," Hakim said, interrupting his friend. "Hakim fears no man. Send for my slave at once. Are you ready, Hakim, to face the consequences of what you are about to do? His friend asked him. Hakim nodded and then called out to his slave, Go, take these bags of wheat and deliver them to my aunt Khadija, and don't let anyone stop you along the way. A donkey laden with dates and grain wandered into the valley of Shibr Banu Hashim. Some kind-hearted individuals from Quraysh would secretly send food and provisions into the encampment. Most nights, the children in the encampment slept in pain, their stomachs empty. At other times, people gathered leaves from the trees around the encampment to kill the hunger pangs. When night fell, Abu Talib insisted that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sleep in a different bed every night, in case his persecutors came to kill him secretly as they slept. As long as she was supporting the Messenger of Allah, Khadija Rajanha knew no harm would befall her. Allah was witnessing every pang of hunger, every fearful thought, and every painful death that took place in that valley. He would certainly reward them for these difficult days and bring their oppressors to justice. The Prophet ﷺ taught her that if they were patient and God-conscious, then success would be theirs. Allah had prepared for them a paradise that was so beautiful and so peaceful that the human mind could not even imagine how wonderful it was. They had to continue patiently upon the truth through these testing times. Those who oppressed them for no crime except that they worshipped Allah alone would not escape Allah's justice. The Prophet's uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu stood at the edge of the encampment, keeping an eye on the entryway to the valley. He saw Abu Jahl riding on his camel with his nose in the air, like a tyrannical king, policing the pathway. Suddenly, Abu Jahl spied a bare-chested slave carrying a bag of grain towards the encampment. The slave of Hakim in Hizam, he bellowed. You dare to carry grain to Muhammad? I shall not let you. Abu Mukhtari, who was a friend of Hakim, happened to be passing by the valley when he saw Abu Jahl charging towards Hakim's slave. Abu Mukhtari was a tribal leader who thought the boycott was a terrible crime. Abu al-Hakam, he called out. Come on, O Abu al-Hakam. Hakim was keeping some of his aunt's grain and is just giving back what he owes. Let the man go. I will not, said Abu Jahl emphatically, cracking his whip as he did so. Who are you to stop me? Let him go, Abu al-Mukhtari pleaded. A man wants to return what he owes to his starving aunt, and your hard heart won't let him? How dare you, Abu Jahl said, fuming. He lashed out at Abu al-Mukhtari and punched him. Suddenly, Abu Jahl was pulled off his camel into the dirt. His turban was covered in dust, and Abu al-Mukhtari struck him in the face with a large camel bone that had been lying nearby. Hamza Rudyanho smiled with satisfaction as Abu Jahl whimpered and crawled away, humiliated. SubhanAllah, what a powerful chapter. What a sad chapter. What a heart-wrenching recollection of the hardships the Prophet ﷺ had to endure, as well as his family, his wife Khadija Raniha, his children, and also his clans associated to his family. This is the struggle that the Prophet ﷺ and his family went through. Even his family members who weren't Muslim but helped him also went through the same struggles. Imagine not being able to ever see one's child again, as it took to go to a country miles and miles away just for their safety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly reward all the sacrifices made by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife Khadija and her, his family, and also the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the Sahaba who had become Muslim in the early days of Islam. Inshallah, next week we shall carry on with this wonderful book. But before we end tonight's bedtime reading, as always, a few humble and gentle reminders to all my dear listeners that, with it being the night of Friday, Shabbat Jumma, as they say, to try and do a few acts of worship to try and increase our own reward and also our own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to treat Friday as like the day of Eid. Wear our best clothes, have a sunnah wash in the morning, you know, pray Surah Kahf, recite Durood abundantly upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like we have been doing for quite some time now, just another hadith from the book Fazail al-Sadaqat, The Virtues of Spending. Today it's hadith number 12. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Asma radiyallahu has said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her to spend freely and not to count. Otherwise, if she counted, Allah Ta'ala would give her counted favours, and not to save money, for if she did so, Allah Ta'ala will also keep away from her, will give her less meaning. Therefore, she should give as much as possible. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us all the ability to try and give as much as we possibly can for the sake of Allah in charity. And there's always people who are less fortunate out there. Any small act of kindness that we can do, inshallah, Allah will reward us abundantly, not even more than we can imagine, inshallah. And before we finally do end, just a reminder for all our readers to always try to sleep with wudu, to read the bedtime dua, which is Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya, and also always read the kalima before you go to sleep, inshallah. So until next week, assalamu alaikum.